Well, it's good to be back with you after my trip last Sunday morning to New Hope, and I bring you greetings from New Hope and their blessings to us, and I took our blessings to them. And I want to thank David Ratton for his visit to us last Sunday. I believe he was encouragement and challenge for us to keep our message and our mandate the same, but to be willing to change our methods, and he even had a little bit of fun at my expense, which was all quite spurious. For those of you who were here last Sunday morning. It's great to be coming to Christmas and to be thinking about the birth of Jesus again. And it's extraordinary news, but it's announced to very ordinary people, a bunch of shepherds. Now, earlier in the service, when Brian read the reading, I was a little bit distracted myself. I don't know if you actually were a bit distracted. Maybe you were still coming in. You might not have heard the reading all that well. So what I want to do is I'd like to reread the reading, and I need your involvement in this. So you've got to get into a little bit of the Christmas spirit here this morning. You ready, Emily? So we need some hand actions. When you hear me say the word what, this is what you're to do. Palms up, shrug of the shoulder, what? Try that. Okay. When you hear me say who, index finger, question question mark in the air, who. When you hear me say where, hand on the forehead looking for something, where. When you hear me say wah, hands on the cheeks looking distressed, concerned, maybe even frightened. When you hear me say wow, hands up, palms out, wow. And when you hear me say wonderful, thumbs up. Those of you who find it hard to take in instructions, there are written instructions up the front. Let's try that. Okay. What? Who? Where? Wow. Wow. Wonderful. Got that? The trick is, I've got to get it. I road tested this with my kids yesterday. They said it would work. Here we go, from Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Caesar Augustus, who? The emperor of Rome. Where? A faraway city made everyone go home to be registered. So Joseph took Mary, who? His wife to be, to the city of David. Where? Bethlehem. While they were there, where? Bethlehem, not Nazareth. She gave birth to a son. Wow! That night there were shepherds. Who? Or sheep herders, watching over their sheep. Where? Just outside Bethlehem, not Nazareth. Suddenly an angel of the Lord. Who? A special messenger from God appeared to them, and God's glory shone all around them. Wow! They were terrified. But the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring good news for everyone. Wonderful. Tonight, God's son has been born. Who? Who, Tanya? Christ, the Lord, the promised saviour of the world. Wow! You will find him in an animal shelter. Where? In Bethlehem, not Nazareth. Suddenly the sky was full of angels singing praises to God and saying, what? What? Praise God in heaven. Peace on earth to everyone who pleases God. Wow! When the angels left, the shepherds said, wow! Who? What? Where? Wow! Wonderful. Well done. Quick, let's go and see. So they ran down to where? Bethlehem, not Nazareth. To find... Now I've lost my point, my place. To the animal shelter. And they found who? The baby Jesus. Just as the angels had said. Wonderful. They told his parents, Mary and Joseph, all about the angels, and everyone they met, they told about Jesus. Wow! But Mary, who? Jesus' mother, thought about what? Everything that the shepherds had said about her baby. Who? Jesus, God's Saviour, Christ, the Lord. The shepherds returned to their sheep. Where? Just outside Bethlehem, not Nazareth. Still praising God. Wow! And they told people everywhere the wonderful things that they had heard. Wonderful. Big round of applause for you all. Great, well done. My kids were right, it did work. The angel announced an extraordinary thing to ordinary people. And it's caught up, the extraordinary news is summarised in three names that the angels, or the angel of the Lord, gives Jesus. First of all, the angel describes Jesus as a saviour. People looked down on the shepherds because they were smelly and they couldn't join in the religious festivals because they might have been dealing with dead animals, and that made them ritually unclean. It was a tough job. The wild animals might kill your sheep. There was a lot of night shift. The wages weren't good. The conditions were pretty ordinary. So all these things that the shepherds experienced were like chains on their life, you know, restricting them, reducing what they could be involved in. So life for them was somewhat like that. But God didn't despise the shepherds, even though they were really ordinary blokes. He wanted them to know about the Saviour. He didn't want them to miss out. So for us today, it doesn't matter whether we are in a highly paid job, a poorly paid job, no job at all. God says to us, whether we're rich or poor, young or old, male or female, that Jesus is the Saviour. And whatever the restrictions are in our lives, whatever the chains are that bind us, and particularly in our relationship with God and our relationship with one another, Jesus comes to free us from that. Secondly, the baby is also described as the Christ. From the Old Testament, this means God's anointed one. Or in the Old Testament, the person who was anointed was God's king. I've gone to a lot of expense here. If you just put that together with this lovely piece of material, you get a sense of the royalty of Jesus, the Christ, the one who God promised in ancient times. Way back, remember when we were studying Genesis, in Genesis chapter 49, Jacob says to one of his sons, Judah, there will be someone that comes from your tribe, from the tribe of Judah, who will hold a royal staff, the scepter, and it will be forever. And when you get to the end of the Bible, you find out, if you hadn't picked it up during the Gospels, who that forever king is. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, we're told it is Jesus, the Lion from the tribe of Judah, who has been the one that was promised and anointed as God's Saviour, God's King, right from the early times. And the people looked forward to this chap coming. And the shepherds might have known that this was going to come at some stage, but they didn't think he was coming that night and that they were going to be the ones to be told he's come. And then all of a sudden, the angels say, he's here. The one that was anointed as my special king, my special leader, is here. And he is in Bethlehem. The king, the Christ, is also described in this reading by Luke as the Lord. Lord means the person in charge. That's a globe. There's Australia. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord, the maker of you. The Lord, the maker of me. The Lord, the ruler. The Lord, the boss. The angels are saying this little baby is the person who made this world, you and me. In fact, he is God. Now, you'd think that this news would be announced to important people. He is an important person coming into the world. He is Saviour. He is Christ. He is the Lord. But for some bizarre reason, God decides that that first announcement is made to ordinary people. And I want you to realize this morning that this news about Jesus is not for the in crowd or a special religious group or special people. It is for ordinary men and women, boys and girls, all around the world, all the time. Everyone in the ancient world thought that Caesar Augustus, the person who starts this story, was the Saviour and Lord. He even had the Greek words for that, kurios and soter, attached to his name, and it was on the coins. People in the ancient world, when they were told that enough times, would have believed that. Our Saviour, our Lord, our boss is Caesar Augustus. And the angels are coming and saying, no, it is not. There is another person who is Saviour and Christ and Lord, and he is in Bethlehem. Now, the shepherds, if you notice the text carefully enough, are not told the name of this person. When they hear the news, it could be that they just say to themselves, isn't that amazing news? We must do something about that. And they go back to looking after their sheep. And by the morning time, they've forgotten and they think it was a dream, perhaps. That's what they could have done. They didn't know that this was true, this announcement, until they went to Bethlehem themselves and met this little baby and discovered that he was Jesus. Now, I can be in the place, don't push the logic here too far, I can be in the place of an angel this morning, in the sense that I can be a messenger of God's truth. I can tell you that Jesus is the Lord, the Saviour, the Christ, and I could tell anyone that, and I can tell them that tonight, and I can tell them that next Sunday, and any time I have the opportunity to do that. But you won't know that for yourself, and neither will anybody know that for themselves until they do what the shepherds did, which is go and meet Jesus for themselves. You don't actually know that it's true until you encounter Jesus yourself. Each person here needs to meet Jesus and be willing to acknowledge that he is your Lord and your Saviour and your King and your boss, and that these are not just words that someone has told you about Jesus, but you actually know that inside yourself. Otherwise, he's simply someone you've heard about and not someone you've met. And the best way for anybody to do that is to read the Gospels, the stories about Jesus, and then read the New Testament, the reflection of the early Christians about that person. Now, if you're here this morning and you do know Jesus as your Lord and your Saviour and the Christ, your job is to do what the shepherds subsequently did, which is they told everybody they met about him and they praised God. So our job is to keep praising God and telling people about Jesus. That's why I'm working hard to ensure that we communicate well to the people who come to this school. That's why we're doing Come Celebrate tonight. And your job is to keep praising and praying for people that you know who don't know Jesus, inviting them to things where they might hear about Jesus. It might be a service, it might be Come Celebrate, it could be to your home where you might be doing a small group outreach evening, or you're having lunch and you're going to have some discussion, or you're just meeting people for coffee and your spiritual antennae are up so that you know when an opportunity comes in a discussion, you can maybe say something about Jesus. You might invite them to some of our groups next year. If they've got children, you might invite them to children's groups. If they're adults, you might invite them to your small group or to Alpha or to a service or something like that. That's our job, is to keep praising God, and we do that Sunday by Sunday, and various ones of you do that in your small groups, and telling people about Jesus. The extraordinary news is for everyone. It's for ordinary Australians, ordinary people who live in your street and work with you in your workplaces. At the end of the service today, I want to play some special music that brings together both the amazing majesty of this birth. When you hear the angels praising God and singing glory to God in the highest, and you put together with that this sort of understanding, this theology, that Jesus is this amazing person, this Saviour, this Christ, this Lord. It's not surprising that people have written uplifting music, music that transcends the day-to-day and lifts our hearts towards heaven. So I want to leave you with some music just to reflect on at the end of the service. But combined with that, I want you to think about the humility of God being born as a baby and the vulnerability of that and the very humanness of that. That God decides in all his majesty and glory to come to earth in a very ordinary way. An extraordinary gift for ordinary people.